Welcome to Public Safety Talk Radio, the podcast for all of our heroes in public safety, including law enforcement professionals, firefighters, EMTs, corrections officers, healthcare workers, and more. This show is produced by the POCUA and is founded upon its Soundness Initiative.
This episode is sponsored by Police Mortgage. Police Mortgage is a full-service mortgage company dedicated to serving police officers and first responders. Founded in 2008, Police Mortgage offers a variety of mortgage products tailored to meet the needs of those who serve and protect. Police Mortgage, for first responders who are second to none.
I am Ken Bader, your host for Public Safety Talk Radio, and I have a podcast guest with me today. I love every guest that I have. If I didn't, they wouldn't be a guest. But I always have a particular amount of fun with a fellow podcaster because they just get it. And the podcaster that I have is Jim Grinstead. He is the host of Scams and Cons, and God knows we got way too many of those out there. Jim, welcome to the show.
But fine, we're going to start it out with a con. You're not speaking with me. I'm an AI.
There you go. That's perfect. well, if it was an AI, I don't know if we would have as much computer trouble as we had before we got on. If it was Cyberdyne Systems, I think it would have just came on.
Yeah. And I'm starting to use AI in my podcasts, but I'm telling my audience I'm doing it, so hopefully they're not going to feel scammed by it. But that's insider talk. So what can I do for you today?
Well, I think the best question to start is, whether it's a business or a podcast, you know, I love the, in essence, as I call it, the entrepreneurship journey. And so I'm assuming that you just didn't wake up one night at 2:35 a.m. and say, you know what? Tomorrow morning, I'm going to start Scams and Cons podcast. So what motivated you to do this show?
Well, when I retired, I originally started out in radio, which I absolutely loved, but then it didn't pay well and you have to move all over the place. My first podcast is called Hungry in Nashville, where we talk to the people behind the scenes in the restaurant industry, in the food industry. And then there was COVID, and that pretty much put an end to that. So I was looking around for another topic, and I've always loved caper films and heists and things like that. So I thought, well, why not give something like that a try? So I ran it around my brain for a little while and finally came up with this podcast. And the thing about this one, which is different than most other podcasts, is I look at things from the criminal's point of view and not from the victim's point of view. So I don't tell you about a con. I tell you how it was done. And so I found that's been popular with a lot of people, although some people who've listened to it who deal with victims don't like my use of the word sucker. And I only use that word because that's what the cons and scammers say. And so I use it for accuracy in that sense. But I do understand the other point of view. It's just not the show we do.
Yeah, whether it's sucker or mark or whatever it is, it's the language they use.
Yeah, and so that's how I got into this and why we're talking today.
Yeah, all BS aside, obviously, you know, having covered true crime for Podcast Magazine when it was around, and literally I've probably listened to 100 different true crime podcasts. If yours doesn't stand out in the first 3 minutes of listening to it, we're probably not talking. But that's one of the things that I really, really appreciated about your podcast. It's not the only ones that deal with scams and cons, but the approach that you took to it, that you just talked about, you know, really resonated with me.
Well, good. I'm glad we could do that. We've had pretty good luck with it, and I'd like to, you know, give it all to my marketing expertise, but it just seems to have caught on. And so I'm very happy about that.
Well, I think, you know, and maybe this speaks to my strange attraction to true crime. But I always enjoy is too strong of a word, but I'm always interested in the criminal mind, you know, because, certainly, you know, have, you know, a lot of darkness and issues and things that I work on, you know, I don't go out to commit crime. For instance, yeah, I don't. You know, to even to, you know, one of the running jokes that I have with a lot of people, my true crime podcast friends, some law enforcement friends, and even my wife, is we'll see something on stalking, for instance. And we'll see the lengths that this individual goes to stalk another human being. And I say, you know what? That's work. That's real energy and focus and work. I don't want to work that hard to stalk anybody. I would just move on and not talk to them ever again. So I don't get it. And because I don't get it, you know, what is of interest is whether you want to call it mental illness or psychological problem or what have you, is what makes people tick to want to do these things. In your research and doing this podcast, have you been able to peg something and say this is the type of person that would do a scam or a con?
Yeah, and I'm gonna. It's some research done by other people, and these are notes, so you're gonna see me look away.
Go for
listeners
it.
Or viewers, give me a break, okay?
I'll give you a break, even if they won't. So go ahead, Jim.
Thanks. Well, there's several reasons or how scammers and con artists view what they do. One of them is they just kind of drift into it. And a good example of that is someone who needs money for whatever reason. And so they borrow a little money from their company and plan to pay it back. But next month comes when they plan to pay it back and money may be tight again. So they take a little more and they tell themselves, I'm going to pay it back and that sort of thing. And then it becomes a really easy thing to do, especially for people who are involved in keeping the books and that sort of thing. So they just find themselves getting deeper and deeper into the hole. And on one of our episodes, a person talks about that they had a great lifestyle. They were buying boats and things like that. And that attracted customers to the firm that were high rollers because they saw this. And so they kind of justified to themselves that, okay, I'm doing this, but I'm bringing in more money and helping the company. And eventually that house of cards collapses. Another is a denial of responsibility, that they were forced into it and they didn't have a choice but to get into
it. They were the real victim.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And the denial of the victim, and that is saying that if they're stupid enough to fall for this, then they deserve to have their money taken. And I'm sure you've heard that many times before on that. And then sometimes you condemn the condemners. And Anna DeLavey, if you're familiar with her and the crimes that she went on, she was the woman who came over to the United States from Russia and hung out with all the A-list people and got to know them, even though she had no invitations or that sort of thing. She'd go in and take a hotel room and never pay for it. And to her, it was like, well, I needed a place to stay. And it just made sense to do this. So I don't know why people are angry with me about it. Hmm. And then there's an appeal to a higher loyalty. Other people in their family have been con artists and that sort of thing. So they say, you know, that's, I'm into the family business, so don't hold me responsible for that. So those are kind of the main reasons that are the main ways that con artists and scammers justify what they do. We all have ways we justify what we do, whether we roll through a stoplight or something like that. But in this case, the consequences are much higher, and especially for the victims involved.
This is probably, in essence, a strange question because you've seen so many scams and cons. But you know, is there one that sticks out in your mind that you've either covered or maybe you're even thinking of covering that just, you know, really, wow, this one's strange. I can't believe this one actually happened.
I guess the one that strikes me is house stealing. And so that one, people go in and move into somebody's house while they're on vacation, or that they're invited to stay for a few days as guests, but never leave. Mm-hmm. And that means they have residency there. And frequently the people call the police and say, you got to get these people out of here. And unfortunately for the police, there's nothing they can do about it. There's no law that they can use to justify pulling those people out of there. So what the homeowner has to do then is hire a lawyer and go through eviction. And an eviction process is time consuming and it's expensive. And in the meantime, you've got these people living on your property. You're paying for electricity, you're paying for gas. You may be paying for their food. Any number of things could happen. There was a case where a woman was persuaded to leave the house, but she stayed on the front lawn in a tent. And so the homeowner was forced to look at this tent and deal with it every day, as well as the neighbors and everything else. And I'm sure the homeowners association had something to say about it, but when there's nothing you can do, there's nothing you can do. So, that's one that really surprised me because I hadn't encountered that before. I don't know if any of your folks, your listeners or such have seen that.
Yeah, I can't say that I or any of my colleagues have come across that, but I've certainly heard of that. It makes me want to get rid of my pullout couch that we just bought a couple months ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because except for my wife, I can't think of anybody that I actually want here more than a night.
Are you looking for a podcast to answer some financial questions? Well, then check out the Mortgage Beat podcast, brought to you by Police Mortgage, for first responders who are second to none. Mortgage Beat gives insight into the home loan process specifically for police officers, firefighters, and other public safety professionals. The podcast is hosted by Police Mortgage CEO John Aritos, who has decades of experience in the mortgage industry. Check out Mortgage Beat on Spotify today.
Well, we have a story coming up in season five about pickup artists. And, you know, you think about that sort of thing. You pick somebody up for the night, they come and they just never leave. But, you know, in those cases, you could get to a justification that if the person was stupid enough to bring you into the house, they deserve what they get. I don't know. But that's kind of fun. As far as other things that I've seen that trouble me, romance scams probably bother me the most in terms of the impact on the victim. Because it either comes out of trust or naivete that they go along with it. And I think trust is most of it. And the fact that the scammers are very good at finding someone's weakness and exploiting that. So these are people who are lonely or in need or something like that. And once you find out you've been scammed, it really hurts. And sometimes people who realize they've been scammed don't stop. They just keep doing it because, as one person said, I'm already in so deep. That is one that that troubles me in terms of what goes along. But then there are other ones that are more colorful and carnival scams and things like that, where you know you're going to get taken when you walk in the door, but you just don't know how. And those are kind of fun.
Well, yeah, you before I pressed the record button, you had mentioned something about three card Monty.
Oh, yeah. That, you know, people, for those of you who don't know what three card Monty is, it's generally happens on the street. Someone has three cards, one of which is a queen, or it could be any other card, but queens are typically used. And they shuffle the cards back and forth and bet people they won't know where the queen is. And everybody's missing it except this one poor sap who sees where the queen is every single time and goes, what's the problem? Why are these people losing? Well, what's happening at that point is not the tosser, the person who's throwing the cards. There are shills all around. And once they recognize that, they create what's called the gate. And they begin moving that person closer to the table and that sort of thing. And people, other shills are around that person and say, man, I can't figure out how they do this, but you seem to understand it. Give it a try. See what you can do. And lo and behold, the sucker starts winning a little bit and that sort of thing. And then what happens is that the tosser wants to make the mark angry. They want them to be mad. So they think, Well, you know, to hell with you, I'm going to throw all my money down and take all your money and go from there. And at that point, the cards are changed, or the tosser really does a good job, like a magician would do. And the guy says, that's that card. You pull it up, and it's not. And the sucker's money has all been taken at that point. At that point, the table disappears, the tosser disappears, the shills kind of wander off, and this guy's left there, angry and upset. Then there's another person called the cooler, who comes, or the soother sometimes, and they, you know, come around the corner and says, I see what happened there. I'm sorry I couldn't get up closely enough to warn you about it, but you know, these guys are tough. They're mean. Don't go after them because they'll just beat the hell out of you. And so just leave it alone. And in fact, let me give you $20 just to get your bus back to your hotel and that sort of thing. But just let it go. And because if you encounter them again, they'll rough you up. They just will. When in fact, that's not the case at all. The last thing is a three-card Monte gang doesn't want violence. They don't want to attract attention to themselves. They'll roll out of that network neighborhood and move into another one where they can do the game. And all the shills and all the players know how to play the roles, so they can switch tossers in an instant. And that way, even if a mark that's been taken before goes by, they likely won't recognize the crew as one that took them earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, and for those listeners that want an example, not of the whole plan that Jim just laid out, but I think I saw it in Ocean's 8 with Sandra Bullock or something like that. I forget the name of the woman, but I think they've got a version of three-card Monty there in, I think it's Central Park. But you know, it's interesting. I've heard it in your podcast. You know, it brings it to mind as we talk today. And you know, also one of my good colleagues is an executive vice president that offers a very, very robust identity theft and protection program. And you know, we talk about
trying to get a new sponsor, aren't you?
No. It's the name of the company is Vero, and all of our POCUA credit unions know about them already. I wasn't even going to mention the name. The name of the gentleman is Jim McCabe, and he's a very, very sharp, very, very smart gentleman. And you know, we talk about these scams and cons and these things that are going on. And we had a conversation, I want to say, just within the last year of how he almost got conned. Now, he figured it out before it was too late, but we've seen it with cops. I've seen it with FBI agents that even the most intelligent of us, maybe it's just on the right day where defenses are down, or just that one smart guy or gal that just finds that right angle into somebody that 99% of the time wouldn't be conned or scammed. Why do even some of the smartest of us fall for a scam or a con sometimes?
Well, you know, for a scam to work, first of all, understand that people voluntarily hand over their money. Except for possibly pickpocketing, people decide to do that. And that makes it difficult for police as well, because if somebody voluntarily turns over their money, then technically no real crime has been committed unless you go to fraud or something like that. But the other magic is they create a bubble around their victim that makes it sound like what the scammer is saying makes absolute sense. And it is the right thing to do, and they go for it. And if they're a good enough salesperson, then the smartest person in the world can fall for it, because we all have different levels of greed or other stuff. So I don't fault people for falling for scams, because scammers really good. I can tell you a story about I fell for what I thought was a scam. I did a show on was parking lot scams. And one of those is, you may have seen them, violin players who stand in the parking lot and play beautiful music. It's just wonderful. And then they want to, you know, have people give them money, because it's like, oh, what a horrible thing that this person of incredible talent has to be out here begging for money. And it's a very successful scam. So I was in a parking lot and I saw this going down. And typically, what happens is that music is playing through an amplified speaker there, and the other person is just faking it. So I saw this and thought, you know, what the hell? I've got a podcast. Why not walk up? So I turned on my phone and I went up there. And of course, he didn't, oh, don't speak English and that sort of thing. And it was some Eastern language, like Ukraine or someplace like that. I couldn't make sense of it. And I kept trying to speak to him, and he had his had a child with him. And whenever somebody offered money, the child would go out and get the money while the person kept playing the violin. And so I tried to get him to pull the plug on the speaker and stuff like that. And I could see the kid working the iPhone or whatever it was. So I did this. I thought it'd be great to do part of the scam. A couple of weeks later, I'm in a different parking lot, and there's somebody playing the violin and doing the same thing. And I thought, well, let's go up again. So I take my phone out and go up to the person and say, nice scam you've got running here, and that sort of thing. And he looked at me and goes, no scammer. And he pulled the plug out of his violin and he played incredible music. I mean, this was him playing with, this was the real deal. And so, in some ways, well, in a lot of ways, I got scammed there because I made an assumption based on what I thought was a real thing. So I should know a good scam when I see one. And in this case, it was real.
It brings me to, good point. My wife is a beautiful person, and I'm as self, self-called jagoff. That's what we call us in Chicago. I mean, don't trust people, and frankly, anybody asking for money, I think that they probably have a bigger house than we have, and are asking for money. So I usually shield my beautiful wife from when we're walking in the city or going out of town and say, don't talk to that person. Don't talk to that person. Get up, go away. Go away. But I think that the question there is, it's probably not right that, I literally am an untrusting guy, a non-trusting guy, except for the people closest to me. Yeah, is that the answer to just not trust people, or is there another answer to help be less vulnerable to scams and cons that you've seen?
Well, there's no good answer for that because, again, they create a situation that makes absolute sense. And if you think about it and buy it, then you go, okay, well, I can do this. We've seen the parking lot scams of someone who comes up and says, my car is broken down. Can you give me some money for gas and that sort of thing? So you get the right person and that sort of stuff, then it's an easy thing to do. There are warning signs to look for on stuff. Ask just simply asking yourself, does this make sense? Does this sound like something that would exist? And then secondly, look for things such as, do they want you to pay with a gift card or something like that? That is a key thing. And a lot of banks and Western Union and other people like that know that that's happening. And when somebody comes in to withdraw a fair sum of money and do that, they tell them to back off a little bit and think about it to try to keep them from making that mistake. But in the end, if they really believe the con, they're going to do it anyway. And one of the biggest problems these days is using human intelligence or phishing, something like that. The old one used to be someone calling up and saying, I'm from the copier company and I was just there. I forgot to write down the model of the copier I worked on. Could you go over, take a look at it, and do that? And then within a week, huge amounts of paper or toner or whatever starts showing up. They didn't order it, but they're charged for it. And that is a simple part of it. But otherwise, you can do scams just by convincing people to tell you information that they shouldn't be giving out, like bank PIN numbers and things like that. And people do it.
Yeah, and I really appreciate what you said about Western Union and most banks and credit unions is I've found that they really do look out for people. I even one of the main reason we do this podcast is to promote our POC way credit unions out there. And I had somebody from one of my police credit unions that I've worked with for years, but I didn't know him personally, call up and ask me for some information. And I said to him, I says, I don't know who you are. I don't know that you work for this police credit union. And I said, give me your name. And he gave me his name. And I said, I'm going to call the police credit union right now and find out if you actually work there. And sure enough, I hung up with him, and I was actually kind of harsh with him, probably harsher than I should have been. But I just had my radar up, and I called the police credit union back, this particular police credit union, and asked for this gentleman, and they transferred me to him. And I said, I really apologize. I just never heard of you before, and I've known this institution for years. And he stopped me. He says, not at all. He says, I'm actually glad you do. I wish more of our members
Oh,
would
yeah.
do that,
Yeah.
because I take no offense at all. So I think the point is if you're feeling that if something's just a little off, instinct is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, listen to your gut. I had a bank call me back once, and I just opened an account there, and they said, we forgot to get your social security number. Can I get it from you here? And I said, there's no way I'm going to give you that over the phone. I don't know who you are. Same situation like that. I did the same thing, called the bank back. I looked up their number to do that. But sometimes companies are just really stupid. And some guy knocked on my door one day, and I won't mention the name because it just goes on for Xfinity. But he wanted to know about my home security service, and they were selling that. And he says, so what service do you do now? And that sort of thing. And I looked at him and I said, I am not going to talk about my home security with somebody who just walked up to the door. And he may have been with the company, he may not have been. He had the shirt and all that, but that doesn't mean a whole lot. But somebody that sends people out knocking on doors asking about their home security, that's just dumb. It's like, you want to protect me and you do this? No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
It's
that's why I put a no soliciting sign that my wife hates on the front door every day that I'm working. But it's true. It's unfortunate that it's the world that we live in. But one of the scams that I hear is going on in Los Angeles right now, which is as many scams and cons do, target older people. But somebody dressed in a uniform that looks legitimate knocks on the door and says, I'm from the water company and we need to come in and check your water for whatever. And what they and there's they come in pairs, and while one guy is pretending to check your water, the other one is looking around in other parts of your house to see what he can take. So it's unfortunate that we have to live in a world where we say, no, you I'll call the water company. You can't come in right now. But that unfortunately is the world we live in.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying to be skeptical is important, but geez, I really hate to see humanity taken out of the world because we're so scared. There are a lot of things out there that are overblown as scary. You and I are probably old enough to remember the kids on the milk cartons, missing kids and that sort of thing. But when you got down and looked at the actual numbers, there weren't many kids that just flat went missing. Usually it was a family member or something like that who was involved. So there was a big scare in the country, and people taught their kids to be afraid of strangers and that sort of thing. And I don't think it's good to teach people to be just terrified of their fellow human beings, but that doesn't mean to be stupid either.
Well, I'm 54 years old and I'm afraid of strangers, Jim.
Well, then boo.
Well, you're not a stranger anymore. You know, we've become friends in a short time. So, you know, you could probably come knock on my door and you could check on my water anytime you want.
Did I just hear a knock on your door? Well,
You're a funny guy.
I used to do improv comedy, so it just kind of comes naturally. You know, and people don't think, you know, there's a guy back in the 1800s called Soapy Smith, and he would roll into town with his miracle cure wagon and that sort of thing and put soap all over the top of the table. And he said, excuse me, I'm going to lose a earpiece there, that there is money inside each one of these bars of soap, and I'm going to sell it to you for $2. And sometimes there's going to be a dollar in there, but there's also one piece of soap here with a $100 bill in it. And so people would just rush up to buy the soap because it was a
Sure.
buck, and they'd open it up, and they'd mostly be $1 bills, and they go, okay, fine, and that sort of stuff. But the people who are getting the money were shills. They were out there. So it was their own money and they were just reclaiming it. And then he'd say, okay, you've opened your soap to see what's there. I will tell you that the bar of soap with the $100 bill has not been picked up yet. Well, everybody comes rushing in
Right.
again and cleans up the table. And of course, that bar of soap goes to one of the shills. They get the $100 back, and they've got all the money from the people who bought the soap, and which costs them 10 cents at that time. So they walk away with the town's money, move on to the next town, and do it again. At one point, the person was arrested, and the police officer didn't know his name, so he just wrote down his first name as Soapy, and so that's how he got that name, which I thought was interesting. So.
Well, yeah, I'm glad I buy my men's Dove at the local store then. And it's the liquid
It's you know,
stuff, not the
well, you're going soft on me here, aren't you?
That's right. That's
In
right.
your old
Literally.
age, yeah, get that lava. I mean, I want to see you work that lava really
No,
hard.
no. In fact, you've motivated me to even go out and buy a loofah. But yeah,
It
literally,
may be your wife that motivates you to do that.
maybe, yeah, you know, a lot of rough skin. But yeah, I literally could talk to you for another hour. But yeah, as we kind of wrap up here, is there, other than, obviously listen to Scams and Cons. Is there like a number one tip or something that you can toss out there for listeners that, you know what, if you just did this or you looked out for X, you'd be a little less susceptible to some of this stuff?
I think the main thing is just pay attention.
Yeah.
These things, when you break them down and look at them, they don't make sense. They just fall apart very, very quickly. So keep your antenna up, listen to the story you're being told, and ask yourself, is this really plausible? And how often do you find a suitcase with $1,000 in it and somebody sees it and wants to split it with you, and that
Yeah.
scam goes on? I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but ask yourself, as other people start moving in and involving themselves in what you're doing, or that sort of thing, then you might want to do the sniff test on it, because as I say, most of these things create a bubble around you where you think it makes absolute sense. So that
Yeah.
would be my recommendation on that.
That's a good tip. If instinctually it doesn't make sense, it probably doesn't.
Yeah,
So,
absolutely.
for all of those folks out there that haven't yet listened to Scams and Cons, and I will say that they should, I'm going to go out and listen to Scams and Cons as I go walking and try to shed a pound or two off my fat ass this afternoon. But for those folks that need to begin listening to Scams and Cons, how best can they find that out there?
You can go to scamsandcons.com, but wherever you, whether you're on Stitcher or Apple or wherever, just search for Scams and Cons and we'll pop right up. So it's not a difficult program to find. And I think it's something that, particularly your audience, that everyone should do. It makes absolute sense. It will enhance your ability to be first responders and police officers. So I think you should realize that this makes absolute sense to do. And if you don't do it, you're probably failing in your profession. Are you buying it?
Awesome, Jim. Yeah, definitely all you folks out there, Scams and Cons is very easy to find by punching in to Google or Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any of those places. I highly encourage you to listen to Scams and Cons. And even more important, Jim, thanks for your time, man. It's been a great conversation.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for asking me on. And you got a great show. I wish you the best of luck with it.
Thank you. Thank you. The pleasure's been all mine. And thank you to all of you who have either watched or listened to this episode of Public Safety Talk Radio. And we'll be back with you next week with another great guest.
Public Safety Talk Radio was produced by the POCUA. POCUA is a consortium of financial institutions serving law enforcement as well as other first responders and public safety professionals. To learn more about our association and to find one of our credit unions or service providers near you, go to www.policecreditunions.com. And always remember, if you aren't working with one of our POCUA credit unions, you're just banking with an institution that just so happens to serve first responders. As a public safety professional, you and your family deserve better. Find a POCUA credit union today.